Before I start tonight's show, I have some sad news to report. We lost one of our fantasy brothers over the weekend. Passed away. Not only was he just a fantasy friend, he was also a friend to all of us. He let us into his home. Every year, we had our Chumps League draft at his house. Him and his wife took us in. They made us food. Put up with all of our shenanigans. Was in several leagues with him, several years. Multi-time fantasy football champion. Good man, good friend, good dad. Skip Wickham, you will be missed. We'll think of you often. Brian Wickham and your family. Thoughts and prayers to you, my friend, in this terrible time as you deal with the loss of your father. Skip Wickham, this one's for you. Welcome into the Hateful Hitman Podcast. My name is Chris Strawsball. Tuesday night, October the 8th. Hope you're having a great week so far. As I said at the top of the show, we lost a good man, a good friend over the weekend. Very sad, very surprising. When I got the news yesterday, I was shocked. I had to pull over on the side of the road. It was just too much to believe. We were just at this man's house, you know, just a few short weeks ago having our draft. Talking with him and everything, and you were just texting with him just a few days ago. He made a move in our Devi League. He was 4-0 in our Devi League. He was really putting a lot of time and effort into getting his Devi roster situated and getting it, you know, ready to roll as his players went into the NFL, and was taking time to really dive in and get a better grip on that league, and was, you know, 4-0. He was doing great this year. And when I got the news from Brian Wickham that he had passed, I was totally shocked. So, if you're a beer drinker, hold one up for Skip, because I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Did we or did we not get roped and duped by Baker Mayfield? I want to start by talking about the Browns a little bit. You know, being a kind of a closet Browns fan, like I said, living here in Ohio. You know, there was a lot of hype coming in, you know, with OBJ and Jarvis and, you know, Mayfield and Chubb. And, you know, so far, you know, if not for a big play, a big long touchdown by OBJ, hasn't done much. Baker seems to be regressing. I said on my last podcast, I thought that, you know, if we give him some time, you know, he's going to right the ship and he's going to be okay. I'm kind of backpedaling now myself. I didn't like what I saw the other night. He looked like he was, and I guess you could give some of it to the offensive line. You know, I don't know if he has a lot of confidence in his offensive line at this point. I mean, you know, and also, I'm not trying to make excuses for the Browns, don't get me wrong, but I guess maybe I'm trying to validate, you know, some of his play, because the guy is a fantastic talent. But, you know, I think we're looking at a team that is in transition because of the pieces that are in play. Okay, it's going to take time for these guys to gel together. Okay, that's been said before on TV shows and podcasts and everything, and that's absolutely right. Okay, these guys are going to have to take time. It's going to take, I don't know if it's going to take a year, but, you know, it's going to take time for these guys to learn to play together, and hopefully, you know, Baker can get it right, because I have several shares of Baker. I was all on the hype train, man. I was like, you know, when I got Baker in two or three leagues, and I thought, man, I've got a league winner here, and the only thing I'm going to have to do is find a guy on a bye week you know, to cover Baker. I got a quarterback for the whole entire season. Well, so far that hasn't been the case, and now I'm looking for somebody who I may need to play over Baker regularly. I posted on my Facebook group page last night that I don't think they're going to need Kareem Hunt. I even said they could go as far as cutting him, but I think now maybe hang on to him, you know, in a spell role where, you know, he would play just, you know, to give Chubb a breather. But I really like what we're seeing from Nick Chubb. Obviously, huge week last week. Not so much this week. Of course, the whole entire Browns team flopped this week. But, you know, I like Nick Chubb. I really don't want to see Kareem Hunt come in and kind of muddy up the waters there in that backfield. I think what they've got going on, if there's one thing you can, you know, hang your hat on, it's Nick Chubb right now. I mean, he's really solid. He had a fantastic game last week. And, you know, then 16 for 87 last night. You know, that's – if he would have scored a touchdown, that's a good fantasy game. You know, it's not great, but it's good. And they didn't find the end zone. And the whole team didn't find the end zone. So, but you can't fault Nick Chubb. 16 for 87. That's a 5.4 average. That's good. That's a first down every two carries. You know, you can't fault him for that. So if we're looking at pointing blame, I was listening to something earlier and it kind of caught my attention. Does the head coach need to relinquish play calling duties? Well, it's reported he's not going to do that, and I don't think that's necessarily the answer. They just need to find a rhythm and find some confidence. And I'm not so sure that's going to be the easiest task. You're looking at Seattle at home, then they travel to Foxborough, and then they go to Mile High. Okay, Seattle's going to play them tough. I know they got to come from west to east coast, but, you know, they're in a pretty good groove right now. Patriots and Gillette, forget it. And then going out west to Mile High, that's a 50-50 right now because I like what I'm seeing from Denver. Cortland Sutton is a fantastic fantasy option. So that game's going to be tough. So these next three games for Cleveland, they may not be able to find any kind of confidence and get a win. If they could escape one of those three games with a win, that would be a plus. You know they're not going to beat the Patriots. The Patriots' defense is just playing fantastic right now. So, you know, Seattle, I don't see it. Maybe Denver. But right now, man, the Browns are searching, and, you know, I hope their season don't tank here within the next 3 to 4 weeks. Oh, Indianapolis Colts, hat tip, bow, whatever you want from me to you. My second favorite team of the week, Indianapolis Colts. Not only did they get the win, they basically went into Arrowhead, into a very hostile environment. That's never an easy place to play either. Went in there and just beat the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes didn't have, you know, a terrible game. He went for 321 and a touchdown, but he got beat up. He did get kind of hurt by his own player. I think it was Cam Irving, fell over on his ankle. You know, so he's kind of banged up a little bit, but 321 and a touchdown, not a terrible game for Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, that's not what you're used to getting from him, so it was a down play in fantasy for him. But, you know, the stat lines for the Colts aren't going to blow you out of your seat. Jacoby Brissett, 151 yards and an interception, no touchdowns. You know, that's nothing to, you know, get all excited about. Marlon Mack, 29 for 132. Okay, right there, running the ball that consistently, that's 4.6 on an average. Running the ball consistently does what? Keeps you moving the sticks, getting first downs, and keeps Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. He can't beat you if he's on the bench. And that's how you're going to have to beat the Chiefs. Okay, their defense isn't that great. Okay, it can you can get to them in certain places, and if you can run the ball, maintain time of possession, keep Mahomes on the bench, there's your key to beating the Chiefs this year. Probably the upset of the week, and I would call it my upset of the week, is the Raiders over the Bears. And, you know, after watching Dalvin Cook struggle the way that he did against the Bears, he didn't do anything running the ball. And then for Josh Jacobs to get 26 carries, 123 yards, and two touchdowns, and have a monstrous fantasy game, not only fantasy-wise, but game-wise, NFL-wise, and get the win against a team that, quite frankly, is just better, you know, obviously not better on this day, but, you know, better as a whole, better defense, you know, and they just won the game. And that's definitely an upset and something that I didn't see coming. I'd actually had Josh Jacobs in the League of Legends. I took him out thinking, well, I mean, you can't run on this team, so he's going to have a turd. So I took him out, and you know, he blew up. So, you know, good for him. If you left Josh Jacobs, then good for you. You had a fantastic day from him. Chase Daniel, 231, two touchdowns, two picks. I had thought originally that he may be the better play at quarterback for Chicago. I thought that having him in was an upgrade, you know, from Trubisky, because Trubisky just looks, he doesn't look like he's getting it just yet. And, you know, those numbers aren't terrible. 22 of 30, 231, 2-2. Not bad. Numbers where you would put up like that, normally you'd think you get the win, but not much in the running game. So they're kind of one-dimensional. And when you're one-dimensional, usually you're not going to do very good in the NFL. You're going to have to find some balance, run to pass. You know, you're going to have problems. David Montgomery, 11 for 25, did salvage his fantasy day with a touchdown. Nothing, you know, nothing great, but the lack of running should be addressed for Chicago going forward. And I think they do have a bye this week, so they need to focus on getting that fixed, getting some sort of a balance to running game. And then, obviously, you know, they may get Trubisky back, and he may be the better fit, you know, at quarterback, you know, for the Bears going forward. Ah, my beloved Cowboys and Packers. You know, what can you say except, you know, Dak still not makes, he doesn't make the prettiest throws in the NFL. Said it before, I'll say it again. You know, and hey, you know, I'm going to call it right down the line. Three interceptions, you know, that cost him. Now, granted, the one tipped right to Jair Alexander. The other one on off of Gallup. Gallup was just getting just pummeled. There's no reason why that wasn't a penalty. Holding, pass interference, it was kind of both, all in one play, and Dak ends up throwing the pick. I'm not going to hang either one of those on him because the one was tipped and then the other one was, you know, Gallup just getting harassed, but you know, the third one, that was a pick and it happens. But, you know, other than that, he had a great fantasy day, 463 and two touchdowns. He threw two big touchdowns, one to Gallup and one to Cooper. You know, but my fantasy wide receiver of the week, it's not going to be Amari Cooper, even with 11 for 226 and that big long touchdown. You know, it's going to have to go Will Fuller. I mean, he absolutely surprised a lot of people, and we was actually talking about it on our fantasy football show for the Chumps League, and Brian, who hosts that show, had asked, okay, who you like out of this person, and this person. And you know, I put Fuller was one of them, and I said, well, out of those three guys, I put Fuller second. It was Howard, Fuller, MVS. He was struggling with those three, and I said, well, in that order, I would go Howard, Fuller, and MVS. And Fuller had a fantastic game, definitely my wide receiver of the week. That's a boom play, though. He does that. He'll show up like that for a couple of weeks, and then he'll either, A, get hurt or just become non-existent. So, you know, don't expect that from Will Fuller every week, because he comes and goes like the breeze. What I say, I said the squeaky wheel always gets the grease, okay? And when you got two squeaky wheels at wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, okay, something's got to get greased. But it's another case of, you know, I don't think that's going to be the constant. Okay, Thielen, 7 for 132 touchdowns, monster day. Diggs, 3 for 44. He had the week last week. It was Diggs' turn this week. Okay, but the one constant we're looking at in that team, you know, other than a hiccup by the, you know, against the Bears, Dalvin Cook, 21, 132, caught 6 more for 86. And he almost had over 100 in rushing and receiving. You know, and as long as that guy is putting up those kinds of numbers, you can't go away from him. Because what's that do? I said it earlier. You move the ball, you get first downs, you chew the clock. And if you score on top of that, it keeps the other team on the field, on the bench. It's not just, doesn't work just against the Chiefs, it's against everybody. If you run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, one time of possession, score, you're going to win every time. You can even sustain a turnover, and Kirk Cousins didn't have any this week. Okay, 306 and 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't expect that every week, because they're still going to give Dalvin Cook the ball. He's still the main guy. And, yeah, I feel good saying that. Don't get me wrong. That's, seeing him succeed this year is definitely, you know, it's definitely a good feeling. But, you know, the recipe for winning has to be balance. But that team's going to run through Dalvin Cook. It's that simple. Here's a fantasy tip for week 6. Play your Cowboy defensive players, either in DST or IDP. Okay, the Eagles just had a field day on the Jets, and now Dallas is playing the Jets. It's a get-right game for the Dallas defense. They need this. It's something that it's like they're getting there. They're getting there, but they're not there yet. They need a game where it all kind of comes together for them, and this would be a great game for Dallas' defense, hopefully. And hopefully they don't get embarrassed, you know, by the Jets, because that would just be tragic, and people may lose their jobs over that one. Jets look to be getting Sam Darnold back. That's a good for them. Luke Falk has tried his hardest, but it's not, you know, it's not the greatest, and they're looking to get Sam Darnold back, so that's a plus. Hopefully they get him back, and, you know, the Jets got a lot of good players. You know, they're just missing a key ingredient at quarterback, and you know, they're really struggling. I think they finally scored their first touchdown or something over the weekend, so that Jets team's hurting, and, you know, start your Cowboy defensive players. We'll talk about the battle of the backup quarterbacks for just a minute. Panthers, Jags. Panthers take the win 34-27. Gardner Minshew, it's worth the discussion of what do you do when Nick Foles is healthy and is ready to play again. Okay, Gardner Minshew has breathed some life into that offense, not only with his play, which, I mean, is good, not great. He did have 374 and 2 touchdowns, big week for him. But all of a sudden, the running games come to life there in Jacksonville. And, you know, Leonard Fournette, back-to-back good weeks. 200 last week, 100 this week, plus a touchdown this week. Is it safe to say that Gardner Minshew is the guy, you know, even when Foles is healthy and ready to come back, as long as he's playing like this and the team has, you know, they lost, but they didn't get embarrassed and they didn't get, you know, just smacked around. So is it safe for us to assume, as NFL fans and fantasy, you know, enthusiasts, that Gardner Minshew may be the guy, as long as he is doing what he's doing now, even when Foles comes back from injury? That is a very interesting question and something I'll be looking forward to talking about, you know, once Foles is back. On the other side, you know, there's no doubt that this game was won by the fantasy player of the week in Christian McCaffrey. Okay, because it sure wasn't Kyle Allen and his 181 yards. Okay, Christian McCaffrey is some kind of superhuman. The things that he does, somebody on Twitter, one of the Ball Blast girls asked, what do you offer for Christian McCaffrey? Or if somebody offers for Christian McCaffrey, you know, what's it going to take to get Christian McCaffrey? Now, I have 2 shares of McCaffrey. I have him in the Debbie League, and I have him in our test league on Sleeper. And I responded, there is no deal right now that I can think of that would entertain me to dish Christian McCaffrey to somebody else. Especially in leagues where, with both these leagues where I have Christian McCaffrey, I'm doing very well. In first place in both leagues, Christian McCaffrey is a big part of that, big reason why. So I wouldn't trade him. Now, if you're at the other end and all you have is McCaffrey and you're 1-4, you know, and you can get a bundle and a boatload of stuff for Christian McCaffrey, you know, maybe that's to be entertained, especially in redraft. But even in, you know, dynasty and keeper leagues, I just don't know if he's worth, I don't know if you're going to get enough that makes it worth, you know, trading him away. And if it's redraft league and somebody offers you the moon because you're 1-4 for some reason with McCaffrey and you've got nothing else and they offer you a pile, you know, it may be worth entertaining. But personally, me, I can't see a scenario where Christian McCaffrey right now is tradable. I mean, we can talk about this guy, you know, in the MVP conversation because, you know, as of right now, who else would be, you know, in that conversation? And if you think about it for a second, you know, even the fantastic, great, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't even in that conversation as of right now over the past 2 weeks. You know, right now, Christian McCaffrey is, in my mind, he's the MVP as of right now. And, you know, I can't think of anybody else that comes to mind that just says, okay, he can even challenge McCaffrey. If they hand the awards out today, McCaffrey takes that award home in a walk. I guess the next closest player that I would consider, you know, running up there with McCaffrey is Russell Wilson, who 268, 4 touchdowns against the Rams the other night. You know, a really, really great game. He also had another 30 yards on the ground, but, you know, he's playing at a very high level. Confidence. That throw to Lockett in the corner, everybody's seen it and heard about it, and it's the buzz, you know, all over the league this week. That throw was amazing. The only thing is I'm not 100% sure he wasn't just trying to throw the ball away, and it just happened that Lockett was there. I'm not sure, but either way, fantastic throw, fantastic catch. I mean, Lockett is a fantasy stud this year. I tried to get a share of him in the league. I have 1 share of him in the league. I was trying to get another one off of Brian Wickham, and he said that Lockett, you know, isn't up for trade. So, you know, he's very entrenched in that, you know, number one wide receiver, you know, and with a great complement of DK Metcalf with that boom potential of the big play, you know, and the Lockett can do the big play as well. And now he's refining his game and he's able, you know, he's really becoming a very good wide receiver in this league and a very good complement to Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. And I love Chris Carson running the ball. You know, he's proven the doubters wrong. He did have a couple of fumbles. You know, I'm gonna let that go. He's having a great year. So I guess if you could put Christian McCaffrey at the top of the list at 1, there would be a little bit of a gap. And then maybe Russell Wilson comes in there at 2. But, you know, other than that, I can't really see anybody that I can say right now is a slam dunk, you know, for MVP other than McCaffrey. I expected Jameis Winston to play a little bit better, even though that game was in New Orleans, than he actually did. I thought the Saints would play them tough like they did Dallas. I really thought that the Buccaneers, and it was a close score, don't get me wrong. You know, I really thought that somewhere in the back of my mind, I just thought that maybe Jameis would go in there and throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and he wouldn't look, you know, he kind of regressed. He had a couple of interceptions that got called back, which made his day a lot nicer. But they got to find some constant running game. You know, they're splitting the time up, 9 carries for Jones, 8 carries for Barber. You know, that's not really getting it. The running game is an issue. There was talks, obviously, now those are gone, about, you know, trying to trade for Melvin Gordon. You know, I thought personally Jameis Winston was going to be in that little, you know, early part, you know, sliding into the second section of the season where he may have that 4 or 5 game blow up, and he still might. You know, that's a hard place to play. He went into New Orleans. That's a hard place to go in and win at. So, you know, I'm not really giving up on Jameis Winston. I still have a couple of shares of him. I'm playing him in a couple of different places. But, you know, he didn't look like he had the past couple of weeks. And, you know, a lot of that contributes to the Saints' defense, which is really good. You know, they get after you, especially at home. And, you know, I don't want to panic. I hope that this is just he went in, he lost to the Saints at home, you know, move on. Hope it doesn't get into his head and he starts making, you know, he starts pressuring and pushing, making dumb decisions, throwing interceptions, because, you know, we want to see this guy succeed. Because he does have the talent, and the talent around him, you know, hands down, he's got one of the up-and-coming fantastic wide receivers in this league with, you know, Chris Godwin, and, you know, another great game for Godwin, 7 for 125 and 2 touchdowns. That guy is really good. Jameis likes throwing the ball to him. They have something working there. Mike Evans threw up a goose egg this week after a big week last week. It doesn't mean he's benchable. You don't bench Mike Evans, but you just hope that they can find some balance there where he can get the ball to Evans. And, you know, going forward, Evans will probably never, well, can't say that for sure, because I think he has before put up goose eggs before. It has happened, but you hope not. You hope that Mike Evans is more involved, you know, in the weeks and months to come as we get into the middle to the, you know, middle part of the NFL season. What do we do with Devontae Freeman? Here's what I did. Okay, I had 3 shares of him. I traded him. It's not working. I don't know if he's the same guy. I'm not sure if maybe he's starting to get a little bit older. He just doesn't look the same. He doesn't look good. I don't know if maybe it's just he's not getting into a rhythm. But Devontae Freeman is just about droppable or tradable in every format. I'm keeping him in the one league because I need him for a bench for a bye week. But like I said, I traded him in another league, and, you know, it's not working out. And the Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan's playing good. And, you know, Sanu, who's a really quiet, fantastic asset in fantasy this year, you know, they're doing their thing. But Devontae Freeman doesn't look good. He's struggling, and, you know, I'm moving on from Devontae Freeman. Don't blame you if you do the same. Okay, I put on Twitter and I put on the Facebook group, send me your rosters for 5-0 teams. Okay, if you make it out of week 4, you make it out of week 5, and you're 5-0, okay, shoot me your roster, proof that you're 5-0. I'm going to talk about a couple of those teams right now. I'm going to start with a league that I'm in. It's the R&R League. It's what I've talked about it before. 12-team. Technically, it's a redraft DST league, but it's also technically a keeper league because you can keep 2 people. What you do is wherever you draft these people and you decide to keep them, the next year they move up a spot. So that's kind of a neat little scenario, the way they got it set up. And 12 teams, very competitive, pretty much top to bottom in the league. There's really no team that's really not set up, even in a 12-teamer like that. Everybody's got somebody that usually hits every week, and you usually don't see it coming. I'm going to talk about the guy who's in first place, 5-0. The Slippery Pigskins is his team name. Shane Rotohamel, good friend of mine, been friends for a lot of years. Seems to be a perennial playoff team every year for this guy. I've been in this league 4 years now, and this is kind of tough. I took over for somebody who'd gotten out. Wasn't able to keep anybody on the team, so I started from scratch. Okay, I was able to get Dalvin Cook and Melvin Gordon my first year. Kept a couple of those guys. Kept Dalvin Cook all the way up now. He's my first-round pick. So it kind of gets you an idea. Every year that I've been in this league, I've gotten a little bit better. Made the playoffs last year. Finally put together two wins back-to-back in these past 2 weeks to kind of get me out of the cellar and get me going. That's kind of letting you know the nature and the competitiveness and the parity in this league. It's really tight. And for him to be a perennial playoff team every year says a lot, you know, for his draft ability and, you know, knowing, you know, his league in and out. Looking down at some of these guys here, he's got Wentz, his quarterback. Adam Thielen, who had a big week for him. Sony Michel, who got a touchdown. Zach Ertz is his tight end. It's a two-flex starting lineup, one quarterback. He's got Marlon Mack on the bench. Of course, he's on a bye week this week. So, you know, he's got a very deep bench that he can absorb some of these bye weeks, some of these injuries, you know, because he's very well built top to bottom. Julio, coming up this week versus Arizona, he should have a fantastic week. Still don't have Patrick Peterson back yet for that secondary in Arizona. I look for him to have a big week. So you look down, you know, this team, New England's his defense, getting major points there every week. So there's a perfectly good reason why. He is 5-0, has a game lead over basically the entire league. One game lead in his division, two game lead, you know, over the third place guy. So he's really putting together a really good season. I want to wish him good luck, but I haven't played him yet, so I'm not going to do that. So at some point, we're going to have to meet. We are in the same division this year, so it would be a big win for me if I could knock him off and, you know, keep myself kind of relevant into the playoff push the second half of the season. Shane Rotohamel, thanks for sending that in. You can find him on Twitter at HeelsFan1511. Check him out on there. Been doing fantasy with him. Or he's been doing fantasy football for probably as long as I have. Big-time sports nut. So thanks for sending that in, Shane. Appreciate it. And good luck to you the rest of the season. There, I said it. All right, next guy up, Todd Kemper. Team name, Make America Great Again. Love that. That's cool. I always like the clever wordplay and how people come up with their names and all this and all that on that. But obviously, telling the name, he obviously has Amari Cooper, and that's one of the reasons why he's 5-0. Looks like a 10-team PPR league. I can't tell. Looks like it's a DST. Got Brady, Amari Cooper, Tyler Boyd had a big game. And look, as long as A.J. Green is not playing, which he's not going to play again this week, and obviously John Ross is out, Tyler Boyd is definitely a must-start because him, and it looks like even Auden Tate, you know, the former Florida State Seminole, is getting a little bit of action, you know, at the wide receiver position due to the injuries. You know, Tyler Boyd, another great, fantastic play. A lot of the reasons why he's probably running, you know, at 5-0, you know, in his league. If Juju could get it constant, you know, this guy might run away with it. Because if I look at his standings, he didn't just send me his standings. He also sent me the standings, you know, of his team. Make America Great Again. He's 5-0, up over 1,000 points. He's by himself. He's the only undefeated left in the league. 10-teamer. And points-wise, he's pulling away. He's pulling away from the pack. So, you know, good for you. Thanks, Todd, for sending that in. I do appreciate it. Go to Facebook groups. Type in the Hateful Hitman podcast. Join my Facebook group. That's where this one came from. I appreciated that. Give you guys a shout out, and you know you guys are doing great this far. 5-0 doesn't win you anything, okay? It doesn't. But what it does do is it's going to take another 5 weeks to get. If you lose, you can lose for 5 weeks before you're at 500, okay? And most of the time, if you're one or two, three games above 500, you're in the playoff hunt. So if you double that and you go to week 10, and let's say you've lost five straight after you win five straight, you're still 5-5 running into the tail end of the fantasy season, you've got a pretty darn good shot of making the playoffs. Now, I am the exception to that rule. In my own league, I started 6-0, was at 7-1 2 years ago, and missed the playoffs. Team just downward spiraled, and there was no stopping it. But that's the exception to the rule. The other guy who sent in some stuff was me. I am still 5-0 in two leagues, the League of Legends League, and also in Fuzzy's Fantasy Football League on Yahoo. That's a group of us, Kane, myself, Brian Wickham, a bunch of us are in that league, been in it for a lot of years, and I've never won that league. I've come in second a couple of times. I've never won it. Would love to be able to win that league this year. If I had to pick out of all the leagues I'm in to win one, that would be it. And I don't know why I can't. I would like to win that league just because I've come so close a couple of times and never been able to pull it off. So I'm looking good in that league. There's no way you win them all. Okay, you don't win. You don't go undefeated in fantasy football. It just doesn't happen. So you take your wins when you can get them. You stock them up. And, you know, you look at, okay, I got a couple-game lead over these people. Two games now, okay? That's fantastic. Okay, it doesn't mean you slack off. You keep hitting the waiver wires. You keep working your team. Keep filling in for injuries. You know, make a couple of trades. Like I said, I made a trade, you know, for Chris Carson. In the league, I'm 5-0 in. I'm not stopping. Okay, I want to win that one too. But you just can't. You can't rest at 5-0. You got to keep moving and keep thinking. Okay, well, if I lose a game, I'm not out of it. I'm good. But if you lose two or three, you know, you don't want one to turn into three and four and five and downward spiral. Down you go. Keep working your teams, working the waiver wire, trades. You know, bye weeks are coming up, and you know, they're starting now. Started last week, obviously, and we're going to get more and more. You know, make sure you got people, you know, to fill in for guys who are on buys. Because, you know, especially if you're in a waiver league or a league where you have fab, you know, a lot of those guys are going to get gobbled up quick. So keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. Never stop, because there's one thing for sure in fantasy. You're not guaranteed anything. Okay? This 5-0 stuff. And you may have outscored the league the entire season. It can all stop this week. You could be rolling with Mahomes, and you know he may have a high ankle sprain. I'm not sure. I'm not saying he does. I'm just, you know, making it up. He has a high ankle sprain. He misses a couple of weeks. The Mahomes owners are in trouble if he's out. Okay, a lot of these guys have been winning with Mahomes. Carrying them. And if he's down, a lot of these guys are going to be in trouble. So you can be 5-0, and you've got Mahomes on your team, and he's out. You got to scramble for a quarterback. You may have to go grab you a Gardner Minshew, or you may have to go grab you a Kyle Allen just to get you through until hopefully you get your guys back. Anyway, thanks for sending those in, guys. I do appreciate it. Had some decent response. To it, so hopefully they listen and give me some feedback and keep following the show. So That was a lot of fun. I like seeing teams, you know. I like looking at teams and looking who teams have. I'm constantly looking at teams' rosters, other teams in the leagues and stuff like that. I'm constantly looking at rosters, standings, you know, who people have dropped, who they've added. You know, if somebody adds somebody that, you know, I'd thought about or maybe I hadn't thought about, I'm like, okay, well, this guy's thinking the same thing I was. Or, oh, yeah, I'm going to check out why he may have picked this guy up. I'm constantly looking at that kind of stuff because it lets me know, you know, that people are out there thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. And, like, we're going to take a shot on this guy. And, you know, hopefully it pays off. So that's fun. It's why it's fantasy. Nothing's guaranteed. But you always work the waiver wire and you always work those trades. That'll do it for this episode of the Hateful Hitman Fantasy Football Podcast. A little bit different format for you this evening. Trying something different, change it up. Hope you liked it. My name is Chris Strasbaugh. Find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. Find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spotify, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and OvertimeHeroics.com. Check them out, OvertimeHeroics.com. One-stop source for all things sports. Baseball, postseason's heating up. Go Yankees. Check out those forums. Get in a group chat on forums. Find your favorite team. Really cool. Anything you need on OvertimeHeroics.com, you can find them there. Find them on Twitter, OTHeroics, the number one. Find me on Twitter, at Hateful Hitman. Have a great week. Good luck to you. See you next time on The Hitman Show.